Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. Life is much more than all that we can see around us, more than the material, physical world. But how easily we get caught up in these things of time and sense. We easily forget that all of these things are temporal. They're passing. They will not last. The Bible says that the things that are unseen are eternal, and these are the important things that we need to take note of. In our broadcast today, evangelist Mr. Peter Ramsey turns our thoughts to the things that are unseen. The Bible says that the invisible things are more important than that which we can see or touch, and one of these things is the soul. God says that it is much more valuable than the entire physical world itself. Have you ever thought of that? Well, it's true. Your soul is of eternal and tremendous value, and we hope that you will follow along as Mr. Ramsey takes a look at some of the things that are unseen, but that are very real and very important indeed.
I am so thankful that I have the confidence that if I should die tonight, or I drove from Prince Edward Island to here, so if I'm driving home and on the dangerous 401, an 18-wheeler, spins out of control, and it's not the end of Peter Ramsey. I have absolute confidence that I will be in heaven. You can send sympathy cards to Joy and her family and be nice to them, but you don't need to pray for me because I will be in heaven. This tremendous confidence, why would you want to leave with such uncertainty in your heart? With such a restlessness, with such a lack of peace, wouldn't you like to have the joy of sins forgiven? Wouldn't you like to rest your head on your pillow and just say, oh, when you shut the light out, oh, well, there's a lot of other things in my life that seem to be at loose ends, but one thing I know Christ died for my sins. He is my Savior. And if my little heart should stop beating tonight, thank God, I will be in heaven. It's not about church membership. It's not about ritual. No, it's about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and having that confidence. I know in whom I have believed, and I am ready, whether it's by death or by the coming of the Lord. Thank God I am prepared. Are you prepared tonight for the future? If you aren't prepared to die, then you're not prepared to live. I'm prepared to die. That base is covered. My sins are forgiven. Christ is my Savior. God is my Father. And heaven is my eternal destination. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And the Apostle Paul, who is in prison, and he talks here about his light affliction. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary or temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul is saying, yes, I am living in this world. And yes, I encounter difficulties. There are troubles. Christians still get migraines. Christians still have flat tires. Christians still get dandelions in their front yard. But Paul says, this is temporary. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. If there was no eternity, I would not be here tonight. I love my wife, I love my home, and I would love to be home. But because I'm looking into the faces of men and women and boys and girls, and you are facing eternity. Oh, the here and now, you might breeze through life. Just because you don't ever accept Jesus Christ as your Savior doesn't mean you're not going to have a good life. You may have multiple cruises. You may do an Alaskan cruise, a Mediterranean cruise, Caribbean cruise. You may win a lottery. You may build a mansion. You may drive a BMW convertible. You may get all the awards you can get. You could have an excellent life. I think a sad life, so empty without Christ. But even if you had all of that junk in your life, what our burden is eternity. That's why we're here. That's why we leave home. Things that are eternal. That's what we would like you to be thinking about tonight. The here and now. I don't know whether you can see that yellow tip of my pen. That's your life. This is eternity. If I could extend this pulpit out another 40 meters out this way, that would represent eternity. Here's your brief 30 years or your brief 70 years. Why is it people live for the here and now, and you say, will you come to a gospel meeting and think about eternity? They say, I would rather not. I'm so bogged down with this. How foolish can it be? How short-sighted can a person be to only be thinking about the here and now, the temporary? You say, well, coming to a service like this is like, you know, like winding back the clock. It's like stepping back into the dark ages. I didn't even know this kind of stuff still went on. This is about your eternal future. Paul says, we don't look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We are living in a material world. Materialism is a belief that all that exists is matter, material. The here and now is reality, and the physical realm is everything, and there's nothing beyond. So if you have that mindset, why wouldn't you live for the here and now? But as you open your Bible, you're confronted with this reality that this life is just a dressing room for the eternal stage. Why would you just focus on the here and now? Don't be duped by thinking of just the material world. Just because we can't see something, does that mean it doesn't exist? I know we're very confident in our abilities, and we believe it's only a matter of time, and we will be able to see anything that can be seen. Anything that exists can be seen. That's the mindset that's out there. The Hubble Orbiting Telescope, it's still up there in space after 25 years. There's a new one now. It's called the James Webb Space Telescope. It's 100 times stronger than the Hubble Telescope. And they've already spent $9 billion on it. And if you thought the Hubble telescope could probe the dark spaces of the universe, this one is 100 times stronger. That's out there. The infinite. And then the infinitesimal. So small. The microscope. Did you know that the world's most powerful microscope resides in Victoria, British Columbia? It can view gold atoms at a resolution of 35 picometers. One picometer is 1 trillionth, not a billionth or a millionth, 1 trillionth of a meter. Professor Rodney Herring out there said, this microscope enables us to see the unseen world. Nope, it doesn't. But as you open the Word of God, we peer into the unseen world. You can't see air. You can't see wind. You can't see gravity. Why is it when we open our Bibles and they say, oh, that's faith. You can't see it, so don't believe it. And yet, no one denies the existence of air. No one denies the existence of gravity or wind. Do they exist? Absolutely. Usually we use sight to decide, but we also look for evidence. Can't see the wind, but we can feel its effects. But just because it can't be seen doesn't mean it's not real. People dismiss the Bible because they say it cannot, all this stuff cannot be seen. I want to tell you five things that cannot be seen, but they definitely exist. The first one is your soul. Genesis 2 says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. Beyond your body, you are infinitely more than your body. You're not just material, skin and bones. We can't be reduced to mere matter. We know that. If someone was unfortunately found guilty of a driving under the influence DUI, the police wouldn't just put your body into a cell. No, they put you. They want you, not just your body. You can't see the soul. They can't see the real you. But is there anyone here tonight and you deny the existence of a soul that cannot be seen? We are the image bearers of God, incredibly valuable, immeasurable worth to God. That's why Jesus came. You're incredibly valuable to God. Even though you're lost in your sins, He values you to such an extent that He sent Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Oh, it's not the physical body that He values, although He doesn't dismiss it. It's you, your soul. God created man in His own image, in the image of God. Created He him, male and female, He created them. The soul is eternal, the real, true, and essential person. Long after your body has gone to dust or ashes. I will use this visual illustration again. Long after you're buried, you, your soul, will be either in heaven or in hell. So that's one thing that you can't see, but is definitely real. God, when Jesus Christ was here on earth, Colossians 1 tells us that Christ is the image of the what? The invisible God. John 4 tells us that God is a spirit. And so God is invisible. God is invisible, but He's real. And everyone in this room tonight will have a meeting with God, either in time. That's when I had my first meeting with God. In time, in my bedroom, on my knees, burdened about my sins, aware that I had offended God. And I cried out to God for salvation. And in that room, we had a little meeting. And God saved me. My sins are forgiven. And I am bound for heaven. But if you don't have a meeting in time, you will meet God in eternity. Holy, righteous God. It'll be too late then for forgiveness. No mercy then. Mercy is extended now in this window of opportunity. God is invisible, but God is real. Something else that is invisible, but is very real. We read in Ephesians 6 about unseen powers that wrestle, not flesh and blood, but there's an unseen world of powers, enemy powers. For a few years, I corresponded with Angie. She intercepted an email of mine that was intended for a young man in Halifax. She wrote me, she said, I just want you to know your friend never got his email. She said, I assume you're a Christian by the things you write. I wrote her back. I said, yes, I am. What are you? She says, I serve Satan. And that started a correspondence exchange. I printed off some of her emails. One of the darkest emails she wrote, she said, "I have given myself over, mind, body, heart, and soul, and spirit to this one, to the devil. I have made a deal, an oath, a pledge to him, to serve him for as long as I am physically capable of doing so. I could not break my oath to him, even if I wanted to. Peter, I have no desire to be freed from Satan's power. It is that power and that darkness that I hold close to my bosom. Freely chosen, I freely gave and freely give myself to him. Satan, there's an unseen world. There's an enemy of your soul. There is an enemy that you cannot see. And he has every intention of landing you in hell and keeping you away from Christ." The end of that story, 5 years later, she wrote me. She told me that she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. It's a long, beautiful story. But I'll tell you this, that made me very aware. I always knew about the occult. But the email exchanges over a number of years, some I got goosebumps reading. But I'll tell you, I had tremendous joy when she wrote this one. She said, "I receive the Lord's blessings every day. Said, Satan's hatred of God is extreme, intense. I know this so well. I hated God. Peter, you knew I hated him. But to what extent? You'll never know how much I hated him. A life with your God was never an option for me anyway. Good thing it was an option for him, eh?" That's what she wrote. Her life was in a downward spiral. She called out to Peter's God because her God wasn't stopping the downward spiral. She said, "So one night while laying in bed, I made my decision because God answered, our God, the God of the Bible, answered her 5 prayer requests. And she said, he didn't have to prove himself to me. He had nothing to prove to me. But in his graciousness and his kindness, he answered my request. So one night while laying in bed, I made my decision. Jesus was in. Satan was out. No rushing of wind. No voices singing. Just a simple decision." She said, "I read my Bible now before I fall asleep. It's indeed a beautiful feeling to be on the inside of the rescue ship. There is an unseen world. Your soul is real. Can't see it. God is real. There's an unseen world out there and is very real. Something else that's real. The future is real. Hebrews 9 and 27 says, it is appointed unto people once to die, but after this, the judgment. The Lord Jesus showed us what is after life. He opened up in Luke 16 and showed us a man lost in hell. The future is real. Jesus showed us a man lost in hell, and he contrasted him to a man at peace in heaven. The future is real. And finally, as I close, love is real. Jesus Christ, the verse says, 1 Peter 1:8, 1 John 4:19, Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love him. I have never seen the Lord Jesus Christ with my physical eyes, but I have experienced his love at the cross of Calvary with arms nailed, extended wide on the cross. If there was ever an expression of love, Calvary was it. Oh, much greater than a Valentine card or a dozen roses. When God wanted to tell me how much he loved me, love is a concept. Love is reality. But it is seen in action. Action. That's how you know love. And I look at the action. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We can't see the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, Christians, but we love him. After the resurrection, the disciples saw the Lord. Thomas missed that. And the next time, Jesus went up to Thomas and he said, Thomas, disciple, here I am. You don't believe it, do you? He says, put your finger in here. Take your hand and put it into my wounded side. And don't be faithless. Be believing. Thomas didn't actually put his finger there or his hand there. Thomas just said, my Lord and my God. You know what Jesus said? You have believed because you have seen. He said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Is there someone here tonight and you're doubting God's love? Open the Word of God. Oh, you'll never see the cross physically. Could you take God's word for it that He loves you? And Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And just, could you not find it in your heart to send up a thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for expressing your love, for giving your son, for dying for my sins? I was the unworthy one. I was the one who deserved hell. But He died for me. Thanks for such love. That's salvation. Remember, there are things that we know and have confidence in. Don't settle for hope so. Confidence. And the things which are not seen are eternal. Focus your thoughts on that which is eternal.
Yes, we can have confidence in the reality of things that are not seen. God has placed great value and weight upon them. Some of these discussed today are your soul, the spiritual world, the future realities of heaven and hell, and the reality of love expressed in the death of Christ for sins. What weighty realities these are, and we hope that you will take note of them, take them to heart, and start focusing on things that are unseen, on the things that are eternal. If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you'd like some literature or a visit that would help you to understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at email@anchorpointradio.com? We'd love to hear from you. We're glad that you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by believers in Christ who are meeting at various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services every Sunday, as well as other meetings such as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. No collection is ever taken, and a very warm welcome awaits you. If you've been challenged by today's message and would like to know more about the truth of the gospel or of gathering under the name of our Lord Jesus Christ following New Testament principles, take a look at our website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the gathering center nearest you. My name is John Sharp, and thank you once again for listening. And we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that Christ alone is the anchor for the soul.